Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 93. Page 93, the Canons of Dort, First Head of Doctrine, Articles 7 and 8, page 93. Article 7 reads this: Election is the unchangeable purpose of God, whereby before the foundation of the world he has out of mere grace, according to the sovereign good pleasure of his own will, chosen from the whole human race, which had fallen through their own fault from their primitive state of rectitude into sin and destruction, a certain number of persons to redemption in Christ, whom he from eternity appointed the mediator and head of the elect and the foundation of salvation. This elect number, though by nature neither better nor more deserving than others, but with them involved in one common misery, God has decreed to give to Christ, to be saved by him, and effectually to call and draw them to his communion by his word and spirit, to bestow upon them true faith, justification, and sanctification, and having powerfully preserved them in the fellowship of his Son, finally to glorify them for the demonstration of his mercy and for the praise of the riches of his glorious grace. As it is written, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And elsewhere, whom he foreordained, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Article 8. There are not various decrees of election, but one and the same decree respecting all those who shall be saved, both under the Old and the New Testament, since the Scripture declares the good pleasure, purpose, and counsel of the divine will to be one, according to which he has chosen us from eternity, both to grace and to glory, to salvation and to the way of salvation, which he has ordained that we should walk therein. Now let us take our Bibles. We'll turn in them, the New Testament first, to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 30, page 1201. Romans 8. People of God, hear now the very words of God. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. And let us turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 6. It's found on page 1241. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 8, found on page 1267. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. As far as the reading, God's holy word. Congregation, when we consider God, we need to do so humbly, realizing we are mere creatures created by him, unable to grasp fully who God is. He is above us. He is beyond us. He is incomprehensible. Now, modern man doesn't like that. Man never has, but especially modern man, who has figured out so much. I can determine this, can invent this, develop this, imagine this. We are not God. He is God. We are his creatures. So we are to be humble. We are also to be reverent, realizing this is God that we're talking about. He's not a human, a man like we are. He is not mere flesh and bones. He is almighty, from whom no creature can demand an account. He is. What he does is just and right and true. Even as we saw in our Genesis series, Abraham said, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Of course he will. Like Job, we must put our hand over our mouth, realizing that when we speak about God, we creatures so often speak of things we do not understand, things too wonderful for us to know, even the wisest among us. And so it is with divine election. We are to approach it humbly, reverently, bowing before what God has revealed in his word, content that where there's mystery, where God has not pulled back the veil, so to speak, we will not try to go. But where he has taught us, that we are to embrace. And what he has revealed is with divine election that God chose to save certain sinners. God chose to save certain sinners. First we consider we're chosen by God. Chosen by God. Just that phrase. It's wonderful, isn't it? That God chose us. Now, the Word of God reveals that God made a choice in eternity past, an eternal choice, so to speak. Election is God's choosing, election choosing. Ephesians 1, verse 4, we read that, says, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's an accurate translation, and you can see that word chose right there, God chose. We're not making this up. The Reformed churches don't make up this doctrine of election. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, what we read says, because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. I want to think about that for a bit. With divine election, we come to a choice God made. A choice, again, as humans it's hard to speak this way, but before anything or anyone existed, a choice prior to all other choices that you and I, that all creatures make. God's choice was not in response to the choices and decisions of man. You know, sometimes children, your parents might say, they'll give you an option, right? Oh, do you want to have, choose. Do you want to have hamburgers? Do you want to have hot dogs? Do you want vanilla ice cream? Do you want chocolate ice cream? We have lots of choices and decisions, but election is beyond, before all that. And God's electing decision was not in response, was not even in counter to man's decisions. And here's something we can't penetrate into. Here's some mystery. It's eternity. Maybe you like to read those books or perhaps watch those films that work with the idea of time and time travel and multiple universes and things like that. It's fine to think about such things. But we are bound by space and time. We can't pierce into eternity. It's the realm of God alone. We have a beginning. The world around us had a beginning. Everything that is created, including our brains, our minds, time itself, has a beginning, but not God. And so we can't fully understand this eternal choice God made. We try to put it into terms. God condescends to put it into terms of before rather than after. Twice, the Word of God in what we read uses that word before. That's human language, human ideas that God chose to reveal to us, to give an idea. He states this truth in our language for something human language can't express before the beginning of time. The foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 puts it that way. Before the ages began, 2 Timothy 1. Here's God's election. It's not a part of God's character, but it's something God chose. God planned, God purposed. Beyond that, more than that, we cannot really say, but we need to be clear that God's choice was before our choice. Think of that. What a comfort that is. God chose you before you chose Him. Lord willing, in 2 weeks, I look forward to witnessing the public professions of faith. What a comfort it is to them, to us, that God's chosen us. And when they come before this body to profess publicly their faith in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not something they're doing in order to have God be kind to them. It flows out of their having been chosen by God. God chose them before they submitted themselves to Him, before they trusted in Him, before they loved Him. We don't earn God's care and concern. We can't do anything to increase God's care and concern. We can't do anything to cast off God's watchful eye. He chose from eternity past, which relates to this choice being a sovereign choice, His free choice. This is something that's doubted by many in the world. To be sovereign is to be free, independent. Often in our experiences, we want to be free, don't we? We want to be independent. Perhaps young people, young adults, maybe sometimes you chafe, you kind of kick against the restrictions, the rules, the house rules your parents have. You want independence, a measure of it. And in one sense, that's good. You're working toward that, your own household. But maybe you're pushing a little fast, not realizing the responsibility that comes with independence. Many people, mankind, they claim they want to be free concerning their actions, to play the role of God with regard to freedom, not realizing that they claim for themselves all that would come with being absolutely free, with being God. We can't even begin to realize that, can we? Ultimate freedom? Because we're not even close to free in that sense. We're not even sovereign over ourselves. You and I, we didn't choose our parents. We didn't choose our homeland, not originally. Maybe some of us, perhaps, or we have relatives who immigrated. We didn't choose our genetics. You didn't choose, most likely, your neighbors or their actions. But there's one thing clear in this life, is that man is not sovereign, not even remotely sovereign. And even the great pride of a nation that achieves its independence from another nation, that's just a pale reflection of what God is. He's fully independent. He depends upon no one and nothing. He requires no one, nothing. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 brings us into the topic of a divine election, because there the apostle wrote, God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace. That's God. And sinful man doesn't like it and wants nothing of it. But God is there. He has a purpose. And He made a choice. Without our input, without our lobbying, He chose. This is a sovereign, free choice by God. It's election. And it's humbling. No one can bribe God with good works, as though we had any in ourselves. Someone can't persuade God by saying, well, I'll do this if only you'll choose me or choose my children. In fact, God often sets aside those who are exalted in this world. Paul says that in the book to the Corinthians. He chooses those things that are small and insignificant and despised and are nothing. Why? To put to shame those that exalt themselves. This too reveals that to be chosen by God was an eternal choice, a sovereign choice. It was a God-glorifying choice to be chosen by God. Ephesians, we read it in chapter 1, verse 3, verse 6. They bring out praise to God. The Apostle Paul starts out verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says in verse 6 that God's choosing us is to the praise of His glorious grace. And here's something to keep in mind throughout this whole series through the doctrines of sovereign grace, the canons of Dort. Some of those who began this controversy, the Arminians as they're called, would have us think that, well, the issue that separates the Arminians from the Reform, the Calvinist, is that, well, Arminians, they like to emphasize God's love. Calvinist likes to emphasize God's will. Well, that's not really the issue. We believe God is love. Out of love, He sent His Son. It's not the issue, God's love or God's will, His power. It's beyond these. The ultimate issue separating Arminians and Calvinists is God's glory. Who is God? How God is God. Foundational to how we are to understand God, His triune being, His character, His will, His activity is that of Creator. And we are the creature. And it's always as creature that we meditate upon divine election, that as creatures we read in God's Word about election, God's choosing. And certainly God's power, God's sovereignty, God's eternity come out, but those are all characteristics of God. And we aren't God. We're creatures. And we need to always remember that. God is the Creator. You and I, we are creatures. It's something denied by world religions. That instead of, as we go through in pre-profession class, got from one of my professors, twoism. There's the Creator and there's everything else. World religions, some of them like to say, no, there's just one. There's monism, oneism. All is one. New Age religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, ultimately, you all enter into the one. No. There's two. Creator and creature. And we are to remember that. Everything we know or experience of God is then to bring forth praise to Him. Praise for His choosing us out of His sovereign, His free love. Praise even for His passing by others out of His justice. And as we consider how God is glorified, we must be careful to consider what God says, how He says He's glorified, and not use human arguments. Again, God says there, Ephesians 1, we read it, He is blessed, He is praised, He is glorified in light of His choosing us to grace unto glory. Other passages in the Bible speak of God's being glorified in light of His passing by others and leaving them in their sin, which leads to His condemning them and triumphing over them. You can read that in Exodus. Exodus 14, verse 4, verse 17, verse 18. Psalm 76, verse 10. In our series through Genesis, what did we see with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? Aren't we moved to praise God reverently? Praise Him as He poured out His just wrath upon the Sodomites? In the New Testament, we turn to Revelation chapter 19. That comes just after in the vision, just after God destroyed Babylon. It's a chapter filled, what? With praise to God because of His wrath, in light of His wrath. I'll just read some of that. Revelation 19. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. After this, after the destruction of Babylon. That multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for His judgments are true and just. For He has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of His servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah!" The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. You can hear parallels to Sodom and Gomorrah, can't we? Well, that word hallelujah, it means praise Jehovah. God's glory. That's Calvinism. It's the bright light of biblical religion. As the Reformation recovered, glory be to God alone, soli Deo Gloria. That's what we're primarily to grasp in this doctrine of divine election, being chosen by God, God's glory. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise of His glorious grace. That's right there from Scripture in context of election. Let praise always be on our lips as God reveals His mercy, His grace in Jesus Christ, and as God reveals His justice against the sin of man. Hallelujah. That's what we are to do in response to being chosen by God. God chose to save certain sinners, and praise be to His name. Chosen by God. Now, we'll be lifted to even more praise as we consider and move on to more of what God chose to do for us. And our second point, that we're chosen to salvation. Chosen to salvation. Now, divine election was not God's choosing a certain characteristic that He would reward, nor was it God choosing a certain mass of people characterized by their faith in Christ. He chose specific persons, individuals. Romans 8, verse 30 speaks of individuals, those who are predestined, those who are called, those who are justified, glorified. Ephesians 1 speaks of love and sonship. Those aren't just for a mass of people, they're for individuals. Love is toward an individual. God knows, God loves. Just like you know when you love your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your father, your mother. Yes, the church is the body of Christ, but the body is made up of individual members. And it might, if we step back far enough, you know, the forest tree thing, you know, the trees might blur and you just see the forest. But then you look closer. Children, young people, maybe you've looked through a microscope. You've looked at a blade of grass. You've looked at a piece of skin. Maybe you see yesterday all the snow that came down. And if you just look, it's just all white, right? But then if you zero in, you know every one of those things is a flake, snowflake. Much more than just what we see with a wide view. So it is with the body of Christ, with the church. It might appear to be a mass, a group that can't be distinguished, but you look closer. Even from here, I can look. And yes, I can see a group, but I can zero in and see individuals. You can see me. You can see each other. Each one of the elect, specifically chosen by God to be part of Christ's body. Time doesn't permit us this evening to get into how that relates with how God deals with households in terms of church membership. That's beyond what we're dealing with this evening. But there are both aspects. Households belonging to the visible church of God, yet God's choosing individuals to belong to the invisible church of God. What a comfort this is to us, congregation. That God has a concern for you individually. He knows what you personally are going through. A seasoned minister once said that there's a heartache in every pew, and he's right. But God goes beyond that general statement to know and care about your specific heartache, your personal trial, your pain, your burden. It's who God is. He chose persons. He cares for persons. The choice to save is God's choosing individuals, persons, to grace and glory. And that's what we need, grace. We need salvation. We were chosen to redemption in Christ. We read in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, it's God's grace which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Grace, which is for us, is favor we don't deserve. Favor shown when we deserve the opposite. We have sinned against God. God's decree of election is His choosing those who had fallen through their own fault. From their original state of rectitude, righteousness, uprightness, wholeness, fallen into sin, fallen into destruction. You can remember children, Adam, the first man, he was created upright. He was created good, righteous, holy. He rebelled against God, bringing upon himself and the human race guilt. And we as individuals, we've only added to that, haven't we? We are in need of salvation, in need of having our guilt and sin removed. That which awaits us by nature is only condemnation and wrath because of our sin. The unbeliever needs to hear that. The one who is in sin needs to hear and listen. They are in a dangerous position. Because of sin, the wrath of God is coming, not just in general, but on individuals. Eternal condemnation rests on the individual sinner. That call goes forth, repent, turn from sin, turn from unbelief, turn to God. He pardons, He forgives. God chose to save certain sinners. And sinners is what we are by nature. And salvation is that to which God has chosen the elect. Now, when we say that too, we mean salvation in the fullest sense. You look at Ephesians, there's no halfway there. Salvation is that which God has chosen, the elect, not just to believe, but also to persevere. God did not choose a person to make it halfway in the Christian life. God doesn't choose a person to be joined to Christ, but just for 30 years, 60 years, oh, 99 years, then you're done, you expire, your warranty's up. He chooses to the whole thing, to grace and glory. And our reading from Romans 8, verse 30 makes that clear. Theologians speak of a golden chain here, a golden chain. Let me read this. You can see how these links are formed together. Those whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. A nice, wonderful golden chain. Predestined, that's where it starts. That's in eternity past. Glorified, that's what will be entering into heaven. From eternity past to eternity future, divine election is a single unit, a complete package. And so, brothers and sisters, don't doubt. The good work God has begun, He will complete in you. And when trials bear upon you, when you're buffeted, when you're tempted, when Satan throws your sins into your face, rest secure in Christ and press on. Press on with the comfort, the confidence in knowing God has chosen you, not just for a time, not to just go part way, but all the way to glory. When you will have no more trials, no more temptations, no more suffering. We're beyond this life filled with its weaknesses and sins, death. Oh, that we would have this confidence in our God and comfort from His choosing. It does not lead unto faithlessness, unto just sitting back and saying, God decides, let what happened happen. No, not unto disobedience, unto living in sin. Not a true grasp of this from God's Word. It's for our comfort in the midst of trials and struggles. God holds fast to you. God has chosen you, predestined you, and He will glorify you. Those whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. Now, although we're not yet glorified, the Apostle Paul wrote of that glorified as though it was a past event. You can see it there. He also glorified because it's sure. It's so certain you will be glorified. You will not fail to enter into the glory of the new heavens and new earth. The Apostle wrote of it as it's already happened. It's how sure it is. Because God chose. God's at work. Again, as Paul wrote in Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that when times are difficult. It's God who holds on to you. And remembering this, draw near to Him, especially in hard times, in trials, in temptations. Rely upon His grace, His mercy, His saving and preserving and persevering hand. For the good work He has begun, He will continue until the day of Christ. Until the day when He presents you before His own presence, His glorious presence, without fault, with great joy. You were chosen to salvation. That we were chosen to salvation, that reflects then upon the third point. That we were chosen in Christ. Chosen in Christ. And we must always be careful to keep this connection here about our being chosen unto salvation and being chosen in Christ. Our salvation is always tied to Jesus. It's never independent of Him. Not even for one instance once we're a believer. That's why God sent Him into this world. To be our Savior. To fulfill His eternal plan and purpose of saving His people. Again, what we read in Ephesians 1, you go back to that, and other verses that we didn't read in Ephesians 1. But verse 3, 4, 5, and 6, the Apostle Paul writes of being in Christ, in Him, through Jesus, or in the Beloved. Timothy 1, verse 9 repeats that. The Apostle Paul, he says, grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. That connection. Always God has had the salvation of His chosen ones as being salvation in Christ. Because that's the only way someone could be saved. Remember, we were chosen for salvation, chosen to be rescued, to be redeemed. We had against our charge Adam's sin as well as our own. We were chosen from among the common mass of sinful mankind, fallen through our own fault into sin and destruction, all involved in a common misery. As he says in Romans, one lump, same lump. It's only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who could save us. No other human could. Each and every other human being was in the same sinful and miserable state that we are by nature. Muhammad, sinner. Virgin Mary, sinner. Some pope, sinner. The original Buddha, sinner. You name it, sinner. Christ wasn't. He is the Holy One of God. He is God, the Son, whom God decreed to take upon Himself our human nature, decreed to fulfill all righteousness for us, decreed, as Peter says in chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, a lamb without blemish or spot, foreknown before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:19. Again, that foundation of the world. Christ has done it. He has come. What God decreed in eternity past from our position in history now, He has brought to pass. He has taken upon Himself our nature. He's fulfilled all righteousness for us. He has suffered the eternal wrath of God against sin in our place as He shed His blood on Golgotha's cross. He became a curse for us, dying a curse, but He was raised for our justification. He's ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. All that God decreed concerning Christ accomplishing our salvation, atoning for our sin, has come to pass. Now He's interceding for us, and He will come again. And Him alone is salvation, redemption, righteousness. It's how we're reconciled to God. Reconciled simply through faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Not just, we'll come to this later as we go through the doctrines, not just for some mass of mankind, but He loved you. He died for you, believer. God chose to save certain sinners, chosen in Christ. Now this election by God of us unto salvation is not a substitution of our faith for our obedience. That's not the choice God made. It was a choice to substitute the merits of Christ for our demerits, which we appropriate only through faith. Never take your eyes off Jesus. He is the author, He's the perfecter of our faith, as Hebrews says. He is your Savior, in whom grace was given you, what did we read in Timothy? Before the ages began. But it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Never turn aside to another so-called Savior. He is the only one. And even as we think about this wonderful biblical teaching of divine election, don't get lost down the corridor of mystery, pondering, well, how do I know if I'm elect? I can't peer into the hidden counsel of God. You're right. Look to Jesus in true faith. The theologian John Calvin, he spoke of Jesus as the mirror of our election. Now think of that, children. Think of a mirror. Okay, you can't see what your face looks like, right? Right now, I don't know what I look like, really. You all know what I look like, but I have no clue. In one sense, I can't see. You can't see it either. You know? Think of the morning, children, before you're going to go off to school or off to work or something, walk out. You just walk out of the house and into the world not knowing what you look like? Well, maybe. Okay. But your parents say, no, stop. You know, you look in a mirror, don't you? The mirror reflects what you look like. By looking in the mirror, you know, oh, I've got to comb my hair or I've got to wipe the crumbs off my face, whatever it is, right? Sunday morning, you got to straighten your tie, you know. Okay, you know that by looking in the mirror. It's like that with Jesus in our election. You can't peer into God's hidden counsel and see your election. You can't see your face. It's hidden. But when you look to Jesus in true faith, that's proof of your election. You know you're chosen because you trust in Jesus. And it's in Christ that God chose his people. You know you believe in Jesus. You trust him. He's your Savior. That's proof of your election. That's seen in the mirror of Christ, your election, which you can't see directly. Therefore, don't grow disturbed about your inability to peer into God's decree. Even as you're not disturbed, right? You don't even give it a second thought that you can't see your face, except in a mirror. So too, don't get disturbed you can't see election. Look to Christ. Trust in him. There you have proof God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There you have the undeniable, the certain promise of God. He's chosen you. You are his. God chose to save certain sinners chosen in Christ. That's our comfort. The body and soul, life and in death, we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. God has become your Father in Christ. In Christ, you were chosen to grace and glory, chosen to salvation, chosen by God. God chose to save certain sinners. And so let all believers in Jesus be assured of your election. And as Paul said, let us praise God for his glorious grace. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are great and glorious that you, the God of all creation, should come to us, should love us, should choose us in eternity past, that you should choose us in Christ. You knew what it would cost you in your choosing us. That it would cost the suffering and death of your Son. Thank you, Lord. May we not be discouraged in this life where we go through many trials, but be encouraged by your love for us in Christ, your predestining, your calling, your justifying, your glorifying. Lord, you are so good, so kind, so gracious. Stir us up more and more to live grateful lives to you, to hold fast always. We pray in Jesus' name.